the cry would go out, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The Lord thy God is one." I want to tell you about the all in all one. The one. The one that watches over you. The very one who created all that exists. And I'm still so just amazed that the continuing creation of God's universes, the continuing creation, the universe is growing so fast that it's faster than the speed of light. So therefore, we don't know how large it is. I keep reminding you all of that. That's God's creation. And in the process of creating all the magnificent planets, all that exist, God created you. God created His family. God said, "My son is going to have offspring." The church is the offspring of Jesus Christ. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a great responsibility to make sure that you are fed properly, and that it means that you are fed with the truth of God's word, not something somebody thinks. God is a knowing God. God, the scripture tells us, Brother Randy, God is love. Amen. Now, not that God loves you. He does. Not that God has love for this or God has love for that. Oh, He does. But you need to understand that God is love. Love originated from the heart of Almighty God. And He loves you and He loves me so much that He instilled in your heart and in my heart the capacity to love one another, to care, to stand strong, to be firm in truth, to stand with dignity as a Christian. I was looking this morning. No, it was last night. I was watching a special that was on. Amazing. About Jesus the Galilean. But I was looking at a chart that came out about Christianity itself. And it was talking about, you know, this number of Christians anymore believe that Jesus will return. And they're going through this, you know, what Christians no longer believe. And I'm thinking, I don't remember talking to anybody about what I believe. Well, they didn't need your vote. This is what we've decided, I suppose. But it said that only 15% of those professing Christianity believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Only 15% of churchgoers believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. How many in my congregation believe the second coming of Jesus Christ? Thank you. That saved me an awful sermon to preach. Think of that, though. Then what in the world do you believe? Do we not believe the holy word of Almighty God? God said, "I love you. I'm sending my son to die for you. And my son is coming back to get you, because the church is the bride of Christ." And Jesus says, "I am coming to get you. It's my honor," Jesus says, "to come for you." Woo! Jesus is honored to come to take you home to be with him. That's what I call love. And nothing, nothing will stop him from coming to get me. Now, my end time, my rapture, may be before Jesus comes back for the church. But I'm going with him. He's coming to get me anyway. I don't have to wait for the rapture. Man, I get excited about dying sometime. I got to watch myself. I read the book. I know what it says about the time to come. That God is in control. And he loves us. Listen to Ephesians 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, folks, let me tell you. This is the book that I study continually, called the Holy Bible. Why do I study it continually? I get excited every time I read it. I can read the same verse over and over. John 3:16 gets me excited. It just gets me excited. Remember, I always had you all stand at the beginning of service and we recite it until I was ordered to tell you not to talk. Well, telling this church not to talk is one order that it'll take an army to stop. But to praise God by reading his holy word. And God says, in this book I'm giving you, it is the guideline for your life. And I want you to know something. This holy book of God, the Bible, tells me, and I believe it, that I am eternal and I will never die. I will be with him. I will leave this body so that I can see God. Oh, I want to stand before Jesus right here in this body. No, you don't. You know why? This body can't handle it. This body of mine knows in the presence of God Almighty, it is dust. Well, I believe in this Bible. I also read Brother Randy. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that God is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. He's a son of the living God. And he loves me. He's over all, through all, and he's in all. He's in all who call upon his name. If I don't get you excited, something wrong with you. He is in control, not a government. He is in charge, not a political party. He is the one who dictates, not dictators. And what my Lord dictates is true, and it will come about. Listen to this. One God, love, one Son, Jesus, God incarnate. People say, God's not fair. God does not feel the way I feel. God doesn't have to go through all the stuff that I have to go through. Oh, you poor, pitiful sailor. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. Marines do that sometimes. Here's the problem. We need to look at Christ as our all in all. We need to remember that Jesus is God incarnate. So why? So that he could feel what you feel. He could conquer your sin, my sin. He will be able to understand why we do the dumb things that we do sometimes. How many times have you noticed in your life that you had such a bad case of the stupid you just wish that you're going to wipe out that whole week? I mean, that is a mess, isn't it? I wish I hadn't said it. I wish I hadn't went there. I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. and you have a Savior who says, okay, I forgive you. Well, Lord, don't I need to jump over a pew or something? No, I went to a cross. I conquered it for you. I conquered the guilt of your sin and made you not guilty. And we would disrespect his holy name by not lifting him up in a nation that has turned their back on the name of Jesus Christ, that we are not allowed to mention his name in school, that we're not allowed to be out in public and praising God simply because you're going to offend someone. Well, it's offensive to me when you tell me that my God is not all-powerful. That offends me. I read the book, and I believe the book. And I know the book is not just does not just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the breath of God. It is the might of God. And God said, here, read it. I will live this book for you. And I dedicate my book to love. He gave me this book because he loves me. The least we can do, Christians, is read it. You will find your life story in this book. You want a cover for this life? Read the Word of God. The greatest cover you can have when the storm of life rages is the holy word of Almighty God. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, one mediator. Now here's where you hear people talk about the man upstairs. I've always told you that bothers me. But here's the scripture that I get it from. So I got to back off just a little. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, why would Paul tell Timothy this? Jesus was 100% human man and 100% God. And because he was man, he became the mediator because he knows our weaknesses. He knows which chips aren't sparking right. He knows what's wrong with us. And some of the things wrong with us, people we were just born with. Some people did born with a bad case of the stupids. Life just comes out that way. Well, I got news for you. God knows how you're going to be born, and he allowed it. He knows how to stop an abortion. You're looking at one. He knows how to handle anything that's coming your way in life. He knows. You know what he said? I love you. Ah. But Lord, I'm rotten. Yeah. And Lord, I've done so many things. Yes. Lord. Yes, my child. I love you. I love you. I love you. Well, now you can't fight love. You know, we get all eye-watery when we talk about it sometime. I never heard growing up the words I love you. Never heard them. My son, my grandson, they hear it all the time. I don't care whether they like it or not. They hear it all the time. I love you. And I always hear back, I love you too. See, love's what makes it happen, folks. Love is what will keep you sane. Love is who God is. And he said, by the way, when your body has gone through too much of this stuff, I'm going to take you out of it. I got a new one waiting for you. And I guarantee you, it's awesome. Maybe we'll just call each other awesome. I look at you, call Mike, and I said, Mike, you are awesome. All through heaven, we will know something. We will know that we are loved. Don't you think you ought to start accepting it right here? Jesus is one, one Son, one Spirit. And He's holy. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, God chose to reveal Himself to you and me as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'll read that scripture to you in a moment. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He wanted us to understand that that's who He is, God. And therefore, He knows every feeling that you will ever experience. And He has a remedy for it. And He loves us so much that He is willing to remedy all that is wrong within our life. Well, why is my life such a mess? Sometimes, folks, our life just gets in a mess. You don't blame it on anything. Our life just isn't always good. It's good to be breathing, but now it's miserable too often. Too often I see enough misery in life with families. It's very difficult for you to go up and say, look, God loves you. When I see a hungry family, when I see children that are pushed aside or abused in any way, when I see that at all, then it bothers your pastor. And then if I see it in Kroger's or any of those stores, that's why God sent me my wife. Because she grabs my arm before I go over and talk to the adult that's supposed to be in charge. Shut up, Larry. Get out. So God says, I'm in charge of all situations. I have one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Let's see. I know I have Audrey that needs to be baptized. She'd accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. I know I have young Carter that accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of his life that needs to be baptized. And I tell the parents now, get them prepared and you tell me when, because we are going to go back and start baptisms again. Enough is enough. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Christ is the body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. The Holy Spirit. I grew up hearing the Holy Ghost. I love that. I love the old preachers that would get up and say, it's a Holy Ghost. And I think, oh, that's so awesome. And it's just in the translation of Old English and modern language. But I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Spirit. You should too, because He dwells in you. That is Jesus. That is God in you. That is your protection. You can talk to Him at any time. Nobody can keep you from talking to the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, folks. I believe with all my heart, that the power of God's love for me and you is so great, and His connection with us through His Spirit is so awesome, that if they knock you unconscious, the Holy Spirit will still talk with you. Well, that'd be a cool dream, wouldn't it? God never leaves me nor forsakes me, because his son is our mediator. Lord, I know Larry gets a little out of line. And then the Lord explains the chip that I have missing up here. I had to go back to the doctor last week, or a couple of them. And one of them was the deal, you know, they put a plate in my cervical again, took one out and put another one in. So I go back and I won't mention her name, but anyway, the PA, and she said, now, what is it you were going to do? I said, I had to come back. My wife wanted me to check and see if there were any screws loose. Well, I'd had my x-ray, and she looked at it while she was laughing and said, tell your wife there's no screws loose. And I said, I already told her, but she didn't believe it. You see, God, in any situation you will find yourself in, God says, I'll take care of tightening the screws of life itself. God, listen to me, folks. You've been given a beautiful spirit. Oh, Tula, you got a beautiful spirit, honey. Yes, you do. You got that beautiful spirit. And that beautiful spirit, God says, I want you to let it glow, let it shine, and I want you to give it to those around you. Share that spirit. One baptism. Listen to this. This is important for you because I want you to catch this. Are you with me? Okay. One baptism in the name, the name, the name. I want you to notice something. Matthew 28, verse 19, the second part of it is what I'm going to read. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not names, plural. The name. He's one. He's one God, relating to us as God. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. One name. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Folks, don't let the world trick you into believing there's another way. There is one name by which you can be saved, and I will not stop saying it, no matter who comes at me. There is one name, not any other religions. Gosh, I don't like religion anyway. I like a relationship, and I got one with Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior, and he is the only name by which you can be saved. No other names that are thrown around are going to work. Oh, I can do all these good works. No, you can't. The Lord said, I see now that in man's heart is evil continually. Continually. No, you can't. You have faith in one. His name is Jesus. Because you see, God said, I must go down and feel how my creation feels as a human. So there was Jesus. There was Jesus. I want you to know something. There is Jesus. When you find yourself in the ditch of life and you look around and you see all hope is gone, I want you to know something. There's Jesus there. And Christian, brothers and sisters, you better start sticking your hand down in a ditch of life and helping people crawl out of the mess they have gotten themselves in. That's the church. That's the body. One God, one Son, one Spirit, one baptism, one faith. You don't need to get confused. There's only one. But preacher, what about all these other people saying, well, let me tell you who I want you to listen to. Don't you listen to me. Now listen. Now listen to me. Don't you listen to me. I want you to hear something here. I want you to go by that Holy Spirit that's talking to you. I want you to listen on the inside. I told my grandson yesterday that I wanted him to pay attention to his character and to pay attention to what is being said, but then make his own decision based from within his heart as to what you will do. See, God does the leading. Allow him to. God will speak to you. Ask the Lord. Father, is Brother Larry telling me the truth? He'll let you know. I'll tell you this. You want to find out whether the preacher's telling you the truth or not? If it is not in this book, it's a lie. When it comes to eternal life. Do you hear me? There is only one. One gospel. You know what the gospel is? Good news. There's only one good news that I know of. He is risen. He who went to that cross, who had done nothing, took our guilt, our punishment. And you know what he said? I love you this much. All the way I love you. And we reject him. We allow people to mock his name. Now, I'm not telling you to cause trouble when that stuff starts. I am telling you this. Get away from them. Walk away. If they do not have respect for your Lord, they will not have respect for you. Get away from them. Because God says there is one faith. And that faith is in the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All three together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three together, and that makes one faith. Romans 3:30. There is only one God, and he makes people right. Don't you love to be made right? He makes people right with himself. Only, listen to me, only by faith. Only by faith, only by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, didn't matter. Paul said, pay attention. There is one faith. I have peace inside. I have peace inside when it comes to the human death. I have peace inside when it comes to human life. I have a peace that's not understood by the world. It was given to me by my Savior, Jesus Christ. It is his name that must be glorified. It is his name that must be lifted up. It is always he who directs our life. And he said, my Father is love. And love loves me. And love loves you. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for the truth that you give us through your holy word. Direct each of us now, Father, that we might be about your business. And Father, we know that your business is to tell the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Give us the courage and the boldness to do that, Father. Lift us up so we can lift your name. Let your will be done, dear Heavenly Father, we pray In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, boy, you all look nice today. I want to tell you that. And your pastor loves you. Some of you I need to fuss at a little. Vanessa, she's sitting right beside of you, and I love her so much. Steve, come down. Steve is going to have to say a few things in order to keep us legal in the security end of warning you. And this is on tongue, it's take 3 to 5 minutes, but I was noticing there's a topic on here that you had a reason for evacuation, and I noticed at the bottom, and he's got pastor gets long-winded. I don't ever remember reading that in any of those books. Though. Brother Steve.
That's got to be a misprint. Pastor never gets long-winded, does he? Now, this is part of our kind of continuing education on how we do things around here, just to let you know. We're going to talk about evacuation this morning. Why would we have to evacuate the church? Well, there's all kinds of different reasons. We might have a fire. It might be a weather-related. We might not evacuate for weather, but we might have to move down to the basement if it's a tornado warning or something like that. Bomb threat. Unfortunately, that's a very real threat. We might have to evacuate. What's the first thing you don't want to do if we have a bomb threat? Yeah, you're right, Steve. Don't get on your phone and start talking, please. Don't call Aunt Millie and say, we're in the middle of a bomb threat. Why not? Bombs can be set off by radio frequencies. Phones run on radio frequencies, so stay off of your phones. And the last one doesn't count there at all, okay? Next slide, Dave. Thank you. Evacuation point. Does anybody know where it is? Ooh, I was afraid of that. Nah, you're close, Steve. Just off by, 180 degrees. It's in this parking lot, close to the dumpster. There is a telephone pole out there, and it's got caution tape wrapped all the way around it. That is our assembly point. You will also probably see smiling Bob Hurley out there. He will be in charge of it. Why do we want you to go there? So we can take accountability. If we say evacuate and you point you out there and you get there, Bob's going to start asking you questions like, who were you sitting next to in church? Well, I was sitting next to Olivia. Is she out here? No. At that point, then we're going to mount a search team and we're going to go back in and look. So we're going to try to get accountability for everybody. We ask you to follow instructions when you're evacuating. It could be a situation where you can't go out a certain door. We should know that in advance. So everybody goes screaming for the back or the main door there, and the main door's on fire. We're going to direct you where to go out, so please just follow the directions. Okay, here's a sticky one. Don't get your kids. What? If we ever go back to normal where we have children's church upstairs, we're asking you not to go after your kids if we have to evacuate. Why is that? Because kids would be coming down the stairs, parents would be going up the stairs, and then we got a log jam. In all probability, the kids will be out before we ever evacuate the main body. Okay, if anybody has any questions, I'll be right up here. Feel free to come on up and ask. Thank you, Brother Larry.
Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate what our security team does. Whether you all know this or not about their training and all, you're quite well watched after while in this church. I appreciate our nurses in the church, especially when the preacher keeps collapsing in the pulpit and all that stuff. It's always good. Thank you, Miss Wendy. It's always good for us to know that we love each other this much. Listen, folks. I want you to remember something this week as you go. I want you to take time to look down in the ditch of life. If you'll look down in that ditch of life, you'll see someone out there down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. And if you reach your hand down in that ditch of life, you just might touch the hand of Jesus. Whatever you do as you go, don't you dare gossip. You go in love. You go in peace. You go in service to God. God bless you. You are dismissed.